It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. We'll have Steve Geller on with us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. I want to tell everybody at a little after 4:20, Chesa Boucher, who covers the LSU scene, will be on with us to talk about the Lady Tigers. And they went down yesterday to UCLA. And to be honest with you, Charlie, I thought the Lady Bruins would win because of what, you know, basically the height and the length inside. But I was really surprised how well the Bruins shot the ball from the perimeter. They were a much better outside shooting team than I thought they would be. I thought they'd just try to get it inside, but you had them get in some foul trouble, and LSU had some opportunities, tried to make a run late at it. Sort of a really bad call late, but really, to be honest with you, if you want to watch bad officiating, you can watch women's basketball. It's 24/7 on that, but UCLA, the women's team, were the better team yesterday. No doubt about it. They were the better team. And, man, I watched that first game, and Duke, they had South Carolina,
yep,
and just could not put them away. Goes to show the heart of a champ in not going down, and that was some immense pressure. And Dawn Staley's got a really young team. Total rebuild from a year ago. And they showed the heart of a champ yesterday. But I thought just yesterday UCLA was the better team over LSU.
And it's a great point about the three-point shooting, Mike. You go from 5 of 15 for LSU to 10 of 24 for UCLA. That 15-point differential behind the arc was the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it. Because, yeah, you were talking about UCLA size. LSU out-rebounded UCLA in that game. They stood out to the size. But as you mentioned, the three-point shooting was just a little bit too much, and UCLA, the one seed, it's supposed to move on. They end up taking down the Tigers.
Yeah, no question about it, Charlie. And I just felt that going into the game, that was, to me, a major concern. We had Coach Mulkey on with us, I guess, about 10 days ago. And she brought up about the fact that we don't match up well inside for some games. And I thought that would be the telltale sign, but it really was the outside shooting of UCLA. And again, we'll have Chess on. We'll get into a little bit more with it with her at 4:25. News from LSU's men's basketball team, Michael Woko, who was from Mississippi State, actually started there a good portion of the season. I think he averaged a little over 6 points a game, almost five rebounds. Transfers to Matt McMahon and the Tigers, and this is just the start of a major rebuild in a crucial year for Matt McMahon. So Michael Wolko comes in, a big part, big man in the middle. He's high experience at the SEC level at Mississippi State. And, man, Mississippi State was a pretty doggone good basketball team this year.
Yeah, they made the NCAA tournament. They lost in that first-round matchup to Baylor, Mike. But as far as Nwoko goes, 32 games started this past season, averaged about 15.5 minutes per game, 6.1 points, basically 4.6 rebounds. He profiles as a good paint presence, shot-blocking capabilities as well, 6'10 frame, 245 pounds. It's a start, right? I mean, you have to fill out this roster if you're Coach McMahon, and you got to figure
some
out
scores.
Yeah, you have to start, you know, filling some pieces, and Nwoko is the first one, but expect a lot more action, kind of like you were mentioning.
This is a little bit of a surprise, and again, I've said this before about verbal commitments. I don't care if it's baseball, football, basketball. They ain't worth the piece of paper that it's getting on. But Blaine Bradford today from Catholic High, rated the number one safety in the state of Louisiana, one of the top safeties in the South, verbally committed to Ohio State over LSU, Texas, Alabama, and Oregon. I know Oregon was heavily involved with Blaine Bradford. They felt he was, if not the top safety in the Deep South, that he was certainly one of the top safeties in the country. And so Oregon really put full court press to try to get him right in LSU's backyard. His brother, Jacob Bradford, is a freshman on the LSU football team. So that surprised me a little bit that Blaine would select Ohio State. Again, it's early in the 2026 group, and to see if he holds on to this commitment. That's a lot of pressure. Every time you homegrown guy from that area and basically in the backyard of LSU and you commit somewhere else. But just remember this last cycle, they did get Jacob Bradford, who was a top-ranked safety, and Aiden Anding, who was the cornerback. He was a top cornerback in the state of Louisiana. But LSU lost out to Jabari Antoine from Westgate High School in New Iberia. He signed with Miami of Florida. The year before, remember, it was Deshaun Spears. He was the number one rated safety in Louisiana from Denham Springs. He signs on with LSU. But the number two safety, Wardell Mack, who played right down the road from where we're at John Everett High School, he signed on with Texas. So, man, goes to show you there is no borders. And where at one time LSU, that DBU monocle was there. And just look all the numbers of the amount of defensive backs that came out of this state that went on to have great careers in the National Football League and certainly in the collegiate side of it also. They're not staying, not all of them, in the state of Louisiana. So Blaine Bradford, he wouldn't be the first Mohican to do it, so to speak, to go outside the state of Louisiana. And I remember it was a couple years back, Derek Williams Jr., who also was from Westgate in New Iberia, he signed on with Texas. And Jordan Matthews, who was from Woodlawn High School, he signed on with Tennessee. LSU did get Colin Jackson from Zachary. So, man, it spread out all over. And a lot of those defensive backs, people say, why the numbers aren't there anymore? I can tell you, they play in receiver. They're catching the ball. They're not defending it anymore. It'll be interesting to see if Blaine continues and stays committed to Ohio State. But again, when you're in the state of Louisiana, got a lot of pressure on you if you're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you like to talk about this as well, Mike, with the commitments, verbal commitments, how they don't really mean anything.
Not today.
Shop yourself around if you're these kids, right? Like, just appreciate the attention that you get from
these
programs.
They get it, too.
Oh, no, absolutely. So
when it was Keys, the receiver from Mississippi, he commits to LSU on a Thursday, and he goes visit Ole Miss on the side. And you and I were talking about it. I told Charlie, man, listen, he's 17 years old. Give him a shot, man.
Yeah, and he's enjoying the attention. He's getting, you know, all these teams telling him how great he is. I understand. So, you know, it's a process, and it's the verbal commitments really don't mean anything.
Not today, they don't. Not it all until you get that name, and make sure it's not like Grandpa Munster on the Munsters when you had that invisible ink. Make sure it's the real McCoy. We'll have Chesa Boucher on with us when we return. Also want to tell everybody at 5:10, Tommy Rybeck makes his first appearance here on WWL, the new head football coach at Nicholls State. He has a clinic coming up Thursday the 3rd. And also we'll have on with us former Major League Baseball pitcher Scotty Sanders to talk to us a little bit about LSU baseball with a sweep Thursday, Friday, Saturday against Mississippi State. Tomorrow night they play Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with, in studio, Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Baton Rouge Proud, and she covers the LSU beat out in Baton Rouge, but always got a great interest in LSU's women's basketball team, Chesa Boucher. Chesa, thanks so much for joining this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me.
Chesa, we had on Coach Mulkey, I'm going to say about 9 days ago, and she brought up to me, said, I'm worried about, you know, lack of size we have inside. And she said, but we're going to try to improvise the best we can. And I was telling this to Charlie where you could see the big difference with UCLA yesterday. I was surprised how well UCLA shot from the perimeter. I mean, I didn't think they were that good shooting from the outside, and I thought that was the big difference in that game yesterday. It wasn't so much the size difference inside.
No,
I agree with you completely, but I think Kim Mulkey, they took the approach of your team is going to beat us, not Lauren Betts. And I think that's the best way to go when you are undersized. And I mean, let's be honest, Lauren Betts took a beating. She got two fouls early on in the first quarter. And so you're like, hey, this is kind of working to what we game plan for. And then you just couldn't get buckets to fall. If you go back and look at the stats, so they had some big time numbers off of their bench, which hasn't really been their forte all season. They're the number one seed. Lauren Betts has been kind of their go-to and how they put up a lot of points, but it was off the bench. You had Gabriella Jaquez and Tamaya Gardner, and Gabriella, she only averaged 9 points a ball game. She freaking went 4 for 5 from the three and had 18 points. And you had Gardner, she only averaged 8 points a ball game and she had 15. So Kim Mulkey and them were putting their money on let's shut down Betts and make her team beat us. And that's kind of the difference maker there. But I will say, not only is Betts, you know, she's 6'7", she's a big post player inside, but they're also super long, and it's not just from the inside. Their guards, aside from their point guards, are all long and have a lot of size compared to what LSU is accustomed to. And I think we saw that too with some of the shots that LSU took. They were leaning, they weren't straight on to the basket. It was more of a hesitation as opposed to before. When you're playing people that are more your size, you're not afraid to go up and just put it in their face.
Chessa, you've seen them play a lot more than me, but that was as physical a game as you'll see LSU play. I mean, UCLA was physical, but so was LSU. I mean, you know, they went sort of toe-to-toe with them. You and I have had this conversation. You want to watch bad refereeing, just watch a women's basketball game in college. They got it all across the board. And I'm not blaming the referees for that loss. I thought UCLA was the better team yesterday. But how could you not see that ball come off of somebody's foot? Come on. That's horrible, but I do think that is something, the physicality of UCLA gives them a real good shot, you know, that maybe to be the champ.
Yeah, I think seeing SEC play week in and week out, I think UCLA especially learned last year that if you want to compete against LSU, you're going to have to be physical. I will tell you, the two games that stand out the most to me from this LSU women's season, Oklahoma was one of the more physical games I have watched in years. And yesterday's game kind of went right there toe-to-toe with the physicality. So when I played back in my day, I was all about the physical game because I like to run and bump. And if I'm going to get called for a foul, you're going to feel it. So for me, I love the physical games. It definitely was more in UCLA's favor just because of the size difference. But, I mean, LSU had plenty of opportunities. They just were not very smart with the basketball, couldn't really get anything going offensively, and just didn't take advantage when Betts went to the bench in the second quarter and they were outscored. And it was just, at that point, it was like, man, if they had shots that fell like we had seen throughout the season, I feel like LSU fans would have felt a little bit differently going into the second half. But LSU just struggled to shoot the basketball, and again, turning the ball over 15 times and UCLA scoring 16 points off of them. It's just a hard deficit to come back from, and that's what we saw yesterday.
Chessa, you know, it's an old saying about never underestimate the heart of a champ, and I watched it in the first game. Man, Duke had them. They had South Carolina and could not put them away. And you think about all the losses South Carolina has, graduation, everything else, and just unbelievable the poise of that young team to pull this out late, because I really thought I was watching the upset here with Duke. And the more and more I watched, that thought of never underestimate the heart of the champ, Duke found out yesterday.
Yep, 100%. But I think there's been such a rebuild in women's basketball at South Carolina. They are used to winning, and they know how to win. And I think we saw the difference there of Duke hadn't really been in the NCAA tournament. They hadn't gotten far. under Coach Carol Lawson. She is an SEC former Lady Vol, and I covered her plenty when she played against LSU here in Baton Rouge. But there's nothing like experience. And I think what you're seeing from the South Carolina team is that they know how to hold on to win down the stretch. And I think experience plays a huge factor in that. And I was with you. I thought Duke was going to do it, and I was going to be so excited. And then I was just like, Duke, what are you doing? Just put them away. Like, just do it. You can do it. You can do it for all of us. And instead, they were like, no, we're going to choke, and South Carolina is going to win in advance. And that's what we saw. So it's not a great feeling yesterday.
They seemingly squeaked by in this NCAA tournament. Yes. I remember the Maryland game as well was close. super tight at the very end, and they kind of dropped the ball late. But it's been chalk madness in the men's and women's tournament is what a lot of folks are calling it, Chessa. And now you have two more games left to decide, the final four tonight, TCU and Texas, another SEC school, and then UConn and USC. Everyone knows about the Juju Watkins injury with USC and how devastating that was. Now UConn's almost 15-point favorites tonight. But your thoughts, 2-1 seeds already in with South Carolina and UCLA. Your thoughts on the matchups tonight, TCU, Texas, and then UConn, USC.
Yeah, I think UConn is the best team. I think UConn's going to go ahead and win it all this year. I don't think, I just don't think South Carolina has the pieces to try to contain Paige Beckers. I will tell you, I am extremely excited for Haley Van Lith at TCU, the year that she has had. We saw her struggle at LSU. I wanted her to do well at LSU. She just didn't fit into the mold, into the program that Kim Mulkey likes from a point guard. Kim Mulkey and her point guard, she wants you to be a facilitator first. And it sounds simple to be like, oh, okay, I've been a shooting guard my whole life, but I'm going to be able to come in and be the point guard. We saw Haley Van Lith struggle. So for her to have the year that she's had at TCU, they had never been to a Sweet 16. They punched their ticket to Elite Eight. I hate that they're going up against Texas. I think Texas and Madison Booker is going to be a little bit too much, too physical, and I think Texas and UConn are going to be the final four pieces. But Haley Van Lith, you got to give her flowers. She's had a hell of a season, and it's been a fun ride to watch her have a lot of success.
Chessa, when we had Coach Mulkey on, she was, Mike, I wish I had Anisha Morrow longer. As a coach, I wish I had her longer. And she just gushed about not only the player, but her leadership and her toughness and her ability when called upon to be, the A personality. She could step up and do that. And if she was called upon to do other things, she would do that. But she really gushed. And I think of all the young ladies that are leaving that team, that's the one that Kim Mulkey's going to miss the most.
100%, because Anissa has that never say die. Like, you tell her, hey, you can't do that, she's going to do it and then some. And I think she's been the underdog her entire life. And I think that's what Kim Mulkey has been so drawn to Anissa, is that Kim Mulkey has felt that way of being the underdog and having to prove yourself. And Anissa just has that dog in her. Like, yes, she's 6'1". She's undersized for a post player. That hasn't stopped her. She's been able to have almost a double-double almost every single game she has taken the floor. And I think that just shows her ability, but she's also a three-level scorer. She can score on the inside. She's efficient inside, and also her jump shot is beautiful. But then you leave her out on the outside, she can knock down some threes. So, yeah, when I heard the post-game interview after the loss, and Anissa talked about, you know, what Kim Mulkey has done for her and basically not being given a chance to be the best that she has been and to come to LSU and to find a real home and to leave her, you know, her family in Chicago, and to basically, it was a culture shock for her, because let's be honest, from Chicago down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, it's a big difference. Like, you can only eat so many crawfish and feel like you're part of this state. So I think what she was able to accomplish at LSU has been amazing. I just hate that she never got to go to a Final Four. That's, for me, not just covering her, and she's been so fantastic, but just the athlete and the human being, for her not to be able to experience a Final Four, I just hate it for her.
Chessa, before you know it, the 2025-26 season will swing right around. It's almost like football. I mean, we think it's a long time, but almost the blink of the eye, and it's here. From what they've gotten high school-wise and then the portal now, what do you expect Kim Mulkey to try to add to this team to get back? Because she made it plain and clear, we're not going just to go to the Sweet 16, because that was a Will Wade line that, you know, last year we went to the tournament, but it was almost like a field trip. Hey, it's nice to be here, but no, once you're here, then you want to win it. And, you know, and Coach Mulkey was, no, we way beyond that, way beyond that. It's Sweet 16, you know, you get to the eight, Final Four. What do you expect for them to reach out portal-wise in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, before I answer your question, I think it's hilarious because Kim Mulkey, every time she has gotten to the national championship, she has won it. Yep. So for her, she's like, hey, if we can get there, we're going to win it. We're going to do this. So I think for her, it's Final Four or bust every year because those are her expectations. Now, going back to the transfer portal, I think the two biggest needs, Kim Mulkey is notorious for getting point guards out of the transfer portal because she takes experience over anything. She is not going to give the keys to a true freshman and say, hey, go run my program. Bringing in the number one recruiting class in the country, that helps a lot. I think you're going to see a lot better guard play. But I think the two biggest needs are going to be Kim's going to go get her a guard that has experience and that's more of a facilitator as opposed to a shoot first guard. And I also think she's going to get a post player. I think Jersey Wolfenbarger, bless her heart, she's got the height, but she's not strong inside. She can bang with some girls that might be a little bit smaller than her, but she's not going to be able to go toe-to-toe with some of the bigger posts that you're going to face. So for sure, Kim's going to find another, I mean, you're not going to find another Anissa Morrow. She's one in a million, but she's going to go in and find somebody who has a knack for the basketball and who is one of those bangers inside, because that's what we've seen from Kim. Here in Baton Rouge, she went and got Angel Reese. She went and got Anissa Morrow. They're going to go get another big inside because you need that. I think Samaya Smith had a fantastic NCAA tournament run, but I think Samaya Smith is not going to be who you want to build your program around underneath. I think she needs some more size because she's not one of those bang inside. She's more of a finesse post player. So I think Kim and them are going to get a big, and they're going to get an experienced point guard, and I think they'll be back in the tournament because that's what Kim Mulkey expects, and Kim can get the best out of the teams that she's had.
Chessa, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your time, insights. You do an awesome job, and we appreciate you coming on here. When we ask, you one phone call away, and we appreciate that.
I try to make it with y'all. Y'all are always the best, so I'm glad y'all invited me today.
Thank you, Chessa.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Chessa.
It. Chessa Boucher does a great job covering the Tigers, also does a little bit of certainly Saints stuff for Baton Rouge Proud.
Calling her shot too, Mike. UConn winning it all. I mean, and it's an interesting pick because Paige Becker's got the star power, you know.
And you thought maybe USC had a shot because they had Juju Watkins
and the torn ACL is just devastating.
And it does happen. Hey, listen, that happens in sports, and that just difficult to see the way it happened for Juju. We'll be back, and we'll have some draft talk with us. We're starting our daily draft inside the NFL draft feature right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long. Charlie, before we do our draft stuff, let's go to back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Dale and Slidell. Dale, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Mike, got a question for you, please.
Yes, sir.
Bryson Daly, the quarterback at Army.
Mm-hmm.
What is his draftability status?
That has changed throughout the years. I think he has a sit-out time. But, man, I would have to do a little bit more research on it. At one time with President Trump, his first term, he had it that players could immediately play in the NFL. And then, man, they've changed the rules a couple times since. But I do think that Bryson will have some sit-out time. It's not the Roger Staubach four-year deal, which he did in the Navy. It may be a one- or two-year deal. I'll look that up for you. I will say this about him. Man, he's not the tallest cat in the world. But you talk about a tough guy. He is one tough guy out on that football field. And, you know, he's not the greatest passer in the world. He's barely been
the next Tyson 50. Hill.
He could be that type player. Because I will say this, Bryson will do anything you ask him to do. He's going to do it. And he carted that team on his back.
Six-round draft choice, okay? If we don't put it on him, there's a guy in Denver who's going to do it.
Because he sees it. He sees it like we do, that he could be that multi-position player. And if I asked him to play on special teams, he would say, yes, sir, coach, where you want me to play. But, man, he's an interesting player because of the fact that he can do some things out on the football field. And I'm not trying to compare him to Taysom, but he does have some similar traits to him as a runner and as a guy that will do whatever you ask him to do out on that football field. My thing is, how the hell he got out of the Texas high school ranks and goes to Army? Man, did some people miss on that one? But they looking for the guy that's going to throw the football, you know, 500 times in a season, that sort of thing. That's not what Bryson Daly does and does best. But he is a very interesting player, and he will get his shot at the NFL.
Mike, you remember we talked with Coach Summerall about him?
Yeah.
You know, kind of previewing the AAC championship game between Tulane and Army. And Summerall just had nothing but good things to say about the kid. He's just like, he's built like a linebacker, but he plays quarterback.
That's what he is built
like. Exactly. But then you watched what happened. And I'll be honest, I didn't watch much Army football, but I watched them play Tulane. And he ran over a very good Tulane run defense. I mean, that was one of the best, most impressive performances I saw all season long.
He carted that Army team on his back.
Here's the numbers, Mike. 25 carries, 126 yards, and 4 rushing touchdowns against Tulane alone. 4 rushing touchdowns.
And my thing is, I know what they're going to do. I couldn't stop him.
Yeah, he only threw the ball 2 times.
I know he's not setting up and he's winging it downfield. But, yeah, he's one tough guy out on that football field. And I agree with you, Dale, totally. He's got some traits that I don't think he's nearly as fast. One thing with Taysom, people don't get how fast he is.
Right.
But, man, he's tough. He's built just sort of the same scale as Taysom Hill. He throws the ball about the same, I guess, if you wanted him to play quarterback. But, man, he can do a lot of things. And in that power QB set, you know it's coming. Just try to stop it. That's the thing with it. Thanks so much for the call, Dale. Interesting topic. We're going to do our Inside the NFL draft segment. And today, just sort of concentrate on the areas that I think are the strongest in this draft class. I've said it before, but defensive end, defensive tackle, out of my top 75, 24 of them are either defensive end or defensive tackle. I've done this. This is year 40 for me. It's never happened before to have that many defensive linemen in one draft class that highly rated. So if you need to get better up front, along your defensive front, if it's at end or tackle, you can get better real quick in this draft class. So that's an area to watch in the first 2 rounds, because I think that's where you'll see of the 24 – probably 17 to 18 of that 24 get selected in the first 2 rounds of the draft. That's how thick it is, and that's how good the talent process is. And so what it does, it kicks down the second thickest area in the draft class, and that's at running back. Man, from top to bottom, this is really good. You have one star in Ashton Jeanty. He's sort of a tilt-the-field guy. As a runner, as a receiver, And he makes some moves that when you watch him on film, you say, how did he get away from people that way? And he's fast. He's strong. He's got excellent lower body power, the ability to stop and cut hard and rake it inside in between tackles. Or then he can outrun you out in the flat. And he is a really good receiver. I think, and this is just my opinion, okay, I think it's really close for the number two spot there between Marion Hampton and Travion Henderson. Travion, to me, if you're looking for a guy that can score and score quick, it's Henderson. Man, he's got some unbelievable speed, acceleration skills, ability to hit that hole, and then he's off to the racetrack. Hampton's more of a power guy. You can see the way he's pieced together, runs well between the tackles. He has made some big plays. Both of them can catch the football pretty well. I think rounds one and two, Genty's going to be the lock for round one. Maybe you might get a second. And I think you'll probably get two, maybe three guys, second round. It's rounds three and four.
Oh, yeah.
Where you might have 14 running backs come off the board. And you'll have running backs later on, like in the fourth round, like Trevor Etienne or Jaden Blue from Texas. One guy I really like, and Charlie has heard me say it so many times, Woody Marks.
Yeah.
Well, I watched at Mississippi State. He goes to USC. Man, he was really good there. Damian Martinez also from Miami of Florida. So that running back position, and in the top 60, you probably have four go in the top 60. But it's going to be after that. From 60 to 100, watch them peel off in the third and then later on into the fourth round. And then that tight end. It's not as good as 2 years ago. That tight end class 2 years ago was as good as you can see. Now this year it's a little bit more top heavy because I think they'll have two of the top 18 picks in Tyler Warren. Well, I think he's certainly in play if he's on the board when the Saints pick at 9. And Colston Loveland from Michigan. I think those two guys will go in round one. In round two, Mason Taylor, he ain't going to have to wait too long in round two to get his name selected. Man, I see and hear all these people talk about his postseason got him put in the round two. Man, have you not watched Mason Taylor play for 3 years? His play on the field got him there. He's had a nice offseason, but it's what you do on the field. He ain't played a game, in January, February, or March. So I don't get that talk other than it's sort of a Pete regurgitate. They hear one person say it, so they say it. So I think Mason Taylor is a top 45 pick. I think he'll come off. They have a team maybe late in round one that's looking for a tight end. He might be there, but I think certainly early part of round two where Mason Taylor will come off. And if he was healthy, Elijah Aurora, I think from Miami, is another guy. Now, again, health, medicals will come into play with Elijah on that. Where exactly he gets selected, and he's had injuries. He's really been a one-year guy at Miami because of all the injuries he's had. You talk about a guy that can run down the middle of the field and split the seam, catch the football. He's people say he's not a blocker. Have you watched him play? Miami ran the football. He was a solid guy as an inline blocker, real solid. But he catches the ball like a receiver out front with his hands, good route runner. And, man, when he catches it, good luck, buddy, because he's all a 6'4", and he's about 250 pounds. So the three areas to watch in this draft class, numbers early on and talent, defensive end, defensive tackle, halfback, tight end.
I agree. It's not the most star-studded group this year because it's not like last year where you had six quarterbacks going in the top 12 and then all the talented receivers from last year as well. Like, this year's receiver class isn't as great as last year's, obviously. But like you mentioned, Mike, defensive tackle, defensive end, you're going to see a lot of those guys peel off a little bit early and even into the second round. But once you kind of get into the third round, it's probably – like, we always talk about the pushdown that happens when you have a really loaded class. I don't think it's going to happen as much this year with defensive line. I'm with you. I think it's going to happen more at the running back position, where teams on day two are just going to go get their guy. Even if you have a good running back room, like, this is the type of class where you can add to it.
Man, I want another one.
Exactly.
And another
Saints,
one.
The Saints don't. So the Saints definitely need to use one of those picks on running back. It's whether if they do it, you know, early day two or kind of later with one of those third round picks.
Yeah, and the one guy we get every day, I get a text on, Cam Scatterbo.
Yeah, Scatterbo's great. He's going to be a third round pick.
Yeah, I think he'll go in round three.
You know, Mike, with Trevion Henderson, it's an interesting point that you brought up with the
Top guys. It's close with him and Hampton.
Henderson, they're very different though.
Oh, totally.
Like Henderson's the home run hit every single time he gets the ball, but you're not asking him to get the ball like 20 times a game. Hampton's the bell cow. He's like the guy that you're giving the ball as much as possible and you're building your offense around. I've seen, you know, a Hampton comp. Brett Coleman from Bootleg had a great one where he mentioned DeMarco Murray for Omari and Hampton. I thought that was pretty interesting. That's kind of what he saw when he looks at him.
He's not quite as big or tall, but he's got similar
the power
running instincts and his vision between the tackles. And he does that similar.
But there's also other guys that we haven't even mentioned, like Caleb Johnson from Iowa or Quinshon Judkins, also from Ohio State. It's a loaded class for running back.
How about the kid from Tennessee? Dylan Sampson.
He's
Baton
kind of
Rouge.
The similar mold as like Trevion, where he's a home run hit. He's got great speed. And, I mean, this Saints running back room needs some juice, and they definitely need to add in this draft class.
Yeah, and Brashil Tootin, too, is a guy we haven't talked a lot about from Virginia Tech. Now, if he was bigger, we'd be talking about him in that. I think he goes in round three. Man, that speed he's got. Now, you can't use him every down, but boy, when you use him, he's going to be electrifying. We'll be back to finish it up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettigy along with Charlie Long. We come back, we'll have the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tommy Ryback. Tom will talk about the Colonels and their spring drills, also about a coaching clinic that's happening this coming Thursday, and at 5:25 will join us by Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher who covers the LSU Tiger baseball team for us right here on the Big 870 WWL.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.